Well, I was looking at Facebook. You know, there's a lot of good stuff on there on Facebook. At least I think so. Everybody ought to be on Facebook. It's just some good stuff to share. I mean, I will see stuff and I say, I'd like to share that with Ronnie. Well, he's not on Facebook. I'd like to share that with Angela. Well, she's not on Facebook. I mean, it's some really great stuff. You know, and not all of it's great, but you know what I mean. But just recently, I saw someone posted something. It says, I don't know about you, but I've thought about running away more as an adult than I ever did as a child. And I thought that was very good. Did you ever run away as a child? You know I did, and I made the announcement to my family, and it was like no one even knew I existed. I mean, that just, like, so what? And so I ran away, and I ran away into the woods, and I sat there for about 5 minutes, and I thought, well, now what am I going to do now? I mean, you know, I'm not going to live out here. And I was about 10 years old, and I was running away. Made the announcement, no one cared. And I said, I got to go back. Yeah, that's all it took.
5 minutes, you're like, why isn't anyone looking for me?
Yeah. I think, though, as that statement is very true, as we get older, you know, life, often we run away because life becomes unbearable. Responsibilities become too much to handle. Life is not working. We want to run away. You know, as a teenager, I can remember a good friend of mine, Barry Ray, we talked about, we need to get away. And we were going to go to the beach. And, you know, we had problems, I guess, as a teenager. I can't tell you what they were, but let's just get away. Let's run away. You know, let's go to the beach and just everything will be better. And, of course, you get back home and your problems are the same. Nothing changes by running away. And, of course, the children of Israel, they said, well, we remember the leeks, the onions, the garlic, and everything. And they wanted to run back into the arms of Pharaoh. Which, you know, Pharaoh, it's a type of sin there. So they wanted to leave God, run away back into the arms of Pharaoh. The prodigal son wanted to run away from home and did. He took a leave of absence, and so he wanted to run away. And I think when we have, one of the biggest reasons we want to run away is when we have compromised our convictions. We want to run away. And running away is one of the ways we shirk our responsibilities. And so what I want to talk about today is the word compromise. Compromise. It means a settlement reached by mutual agreement. Now, I do believe that there is a time to compromise, especially concerning human relationships. By giving a little, each side gains much. Like a country or western song a long time ago. It said, you start walking my way, I start walking yours, and we meet in the middle. And so that's very true. In human relationships, there's a time to compromise. I mean, marriages, there's a time to compromise. Business partnerships, there's a time to compromise. And friendships, there's a time to compromise. But there's also a time not to compromise. And I'm talking about found in a relationship with God. In a relationship with God. When the forces of evil want their way, it's time not to compromise. And I think a lot of times the battle against temptation is lost at the gate. Right at the get-go, it's lost because we start out with a compromise. In our minds, in our pea-brain minds, you know, we start out, well, this is how I'm going to do this, Lord. And we start out with a compromise. And at the gate, we've lost the battle. And we wonder sometimes, why did I lose that battle so quickly? It's because you begin it with a compromise. Right out of the chute, a compromise. To compromise God's truth, to compromise God's way, to compromise God's word, is to negotiate away that which is holy. The world of churchianity is full of compromise. The Sabbath has been compromised for Sunday worship. The holy days have been compromised for pagan holidays. The kingdom of God is compromised for heavenly retirement. The family of God, what God is doing through mankind, is compromised for the Trinity. which really sort of neuters God. I mean, it's just, you know, it's three members or three somethings or three distinctions of God, and that's it. Incredible compromise. To compromise God's truth, to compromise God's word, to compromise God's way is to negotiate away that which is holy. Now, I sometimes think people would say, well, grace is a compromise. But grace is not a compromise. Grace is an option. It's one of the options that we have. If you repent, if you accept Christ as your personal Savior, if you are baptized and receive the Spirit of God, there is grace. If we don't, mankind has the option of dying the second death. So you got grace as an option, second death as an option. We may not like those two, but they're options that we have. Now, the concept that God doesn't compromise is a powerful concept if you can grasp it. It's so powerful, we don't even like to think about it. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And I think the reason is, you know, we don't like to think about, okay, God, we're sort of taught a God that does constantly compromises from mainstream churchianity. You know, he's always compromising. He's compromising everything. That's sort of what we're taught. But what I mean is, you know, God said, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die. Did God compromise? No. Sure enough, we have to die because of that decision. The wages of sin is death. And I think that's referring to the second death. You know, we all have to experience the first death. It's appointed unto all men to die once. But the wages of sin being death, that's talking about the second death. God doesn't compromise. That's what you earn. Sin equals death. The wages of sin. God doesn't compromise. Have you ever asked the question, why did Christ have to die? Why couldn't it worked it out some other way? You know, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. The reason Christ had to die is because God doesn't compromise. God's blood, in the form of Jesus Christ, had to be shed. That's a powerful concept to realize. Powerful. Now, this being the first day of unleavened bread, I want to ask you a question. What is your best excuse for not living victoriously in victory? What's your best excuse for not living in victory? You know, we could start a game show here, and we could get people and say, all right, let me hear your best excuse. And we could come up with some good excuses as to why I continue to fail, why I don't meet the mark. And we could have reason, and they would be many good reasons why we don't live in victory. I don't think there'd be any bad reasons you'd give. They would all be excellent, and we would understand them, and we'd say, yeah, I can, you know, I have compassion with you in that area, and I see what you're saying. What is your best excuse for not living in victory? I want us to consider what God has already given us. Already. Let's turn to 1 John 3 and verse 8. 1 John 3 and verse 8. This is what God has given us already. 1 John 3 and verse 8, it says, he that commits sin is of the devil. Well, Lord, you don't know my struggle. You don't know what I'm going through. This says, he that commits sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning, and for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And there's two things I want you to take home from that scripture. If you're sinning, you are being compromised. Okay? Why? Why would I say that? Well, because it says he that commits sin is of the devil. You know, if that's going on, I mean, you are being compromised. Point number one. Point number two, because of our tendency to compromise, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. We all have that tendency to compromise, you know, in areas of sin. And specifically, I'm talking about not sin so much out of ignorance, but willful sin. Things that you do and you know that's wrong before you even do it. Willful sin. That's what I'm talking about. Let's look at Romans. Someone said that Romans 6 was like a Bible within a Bible, that it's a synopsis of the plan of salvation. that it covers it very well. Romans 6. And I want to look at Romans. I'm going to skip through here, start in Romans 6 and verse 6, and just pick up on some scriptures here, what it says about what we already have. What we already have. Romans 6 and verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth, from this day forward, we should not serve sin. Man, that's powerful. That's a powerful statement. Romans 6 and verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Man, that's heavy stuff. Don't let sin reign, rule in your body. Romans 6 and verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. It's not going to have dominion, reign over your life. Romans 6 and verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become the servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Now again, when I talk about compromise, when I talk about this issue of sin, I do want to focus on, because I think Sandy mentioned that in his message, willful sin. The areas that that you know is wrong. I know I shouldn't do this. Again, what is your best excuse for not living in victory? Listen closely. The only thing that stands in the way between you and obeying God is compromise. Compromising. That's what stands in the way. Compromise. You know, Hebrews says, Jesus became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Man, that's powerful. That's a direct statement there. I mean, it's, you know, Jesus became the author of eternal salvation to all them that raise their hands. Say, I invite you, Lord, into my heart. I love you, Jesus. I'm a Christian. I signed on the dotted line. I've invited Jesus into my heart. No, unto all them that obey Him. That is, God doesn't compromise. Now, I think a lot of people would look and say, well, is that really even possible? Is it even possible for us to obey God? There's no way we can obey God, you know. And you ever heard the statement, you know, we all sin. I've heard that statement more from Christians than I've ever heard from non-Christians, you know. Well, we all sin, you know. You sin, I sin. Probably getting ready to sin right now. I've heard that, you know, we all sin. But I want you to consider this verse. One scripture here. Luke 1 and verse 6. Did I say sin? 1 and verse 6. Luke 1 and verse 6. It is a powerful statement about two people here. Zacharias and Elizabeth. Luke 1 and verse 6. I don't know if you can wrap your mind around this scripture here. It's difficult to. Luke 1 and verse 6, it says, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Wow. Wow. That's pretty good right there. That's deep. Now, I don't know how most religious people would take this. I really don't. Because a lot of the mindsets of religious people that I have seen says, well, you know, it's like living in victory is not possible. It's like the battle is lost before they even begin because of the mindset. The mindset says, no, it's not possible. And so the battle is lost right out of the chute, the battle is lost. This isn't possible. You know, maybe there's a reason Jesus, when he was asked, Lord, are there few that be saved? You ever thought about why he was asked that question? Are there few that be saved? Well, maybe it's a true statement. There's few that will stand and, you know, I'm not going to compromise in this area. The area that I know I shouldn't do that. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to compromise. Now, I don't mean to, well, yes, I do mean to, I want to scare you. Frighten you. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What will happen to those of us who have been invited, who have received the Spirit, if we don't overcome, if we fail to put sin out of our life. Did you know the Bible answers that question? Directly, absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Now, listen, I know I'm not talking to everybody. I'm not talking to people in the world that there's all kinds of people that want to be religious and go to church and, but the, you know, they may or may not have the Spirit of God. But I'm asking the question, what will happen to those of us who have been invited, called, receive the Spirit of God, but don't overcome and fail to put sin out of their lives? Hebrews 10 and verse 26. Hebrews 10 and verse 26. Hebrews 10 and verse 26. It says, "For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth," and that's a powerful statement. I mean, there's the Church of God, you know, people, you know, we got the truth. We got the truth. All right. "If we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified and an holy thing and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Not good. Not good. Now, I'm inviting you today to start living a life without compromise. If God didn't compromise His Son, and you know, Jesus wanted a compromise with the Father. Let's meet in the middle, Lord. If there's any other way, take this. Let's work it out another way. Take this cup from me. Jesus was offering up a compromise. And the answer was, no compromise. If Jesus, if God didn't compromise His Son, do you think God will tolerate us when we, because of our compromise, fail to live in victory? No. No compromise. No compromise. So I started this message about running away. That I've had had the thought of running away more as an adult than I ever did as a child. And I think about, why do people run away? Why do people leave the church? Why is the Church of God not that popular? Because it's not, really, when you think about it. I think the answer is this. It's easy to believe in a God of compromise than a God that does not compromise. The God that you have being worshipped today is a God of compromise. We've created a God in our own image, just like ourselves, that is always compromising things. Now, I want to leave you with, I don't want to leave you just hanging, so I'll give you some good points here, a positive point in closing. First thing, learn to recognize the areas in which you are most likely to compromise. You know what it is. You may not tell me, but I don't need to know. I don't want to know. Just learn to recognize the area in which you're most likely to compromise. I know what mine is. There's a story of Samson. You know the story, but... And she said to him, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times and have not told me wherein your great strength is." And it came to pass when she pressed upon him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart. "If you shave my head, I'll be weak as a kitten." Now, I think Samson knew the area that he was compromised at. And if he didn't, he was the dumbest man in the world. But I think he knew the area, but he failed to put into place a plan of action. He knew it. He knew it going into it. I mean, he knew the game, surely. But he failed to put into place a plan of action. Okay, plan of action. God, from this day forward, I will never be compromised in this area again. Point number one, do it for yourself. You know, a lot of times with us, you know, we think, okay, I got to be very spiritual here. Lord, I'm going to do this for you. No. Before you do it for God, do it for yourself first. I will never compromise in this area again. Why would I say that? Because if you keep compromising, you're the one that's going to end up in the second death. It's about you. You're the one that's going to end up in the lake of fire. First, do it for yourself. God, I'm not going to compromise this area again in my life. Second, do it for the love of God. I mean, this is what God expects. No compromise in the areas that you struggle with. Third, do it for the love of your family, your wife, your husband, your children. They deserve it. They deserve it. I'm never going to compromise in this area again. And fourth, do it for the betterment of society. We live in a generation of liars who are always compromising things. You want to make your world better? Stop compromising. The only thing that stands in the way between you and victory is compromise, your compromise. So from this day forward, remember the words, no compromising.